This is the Friday, September 8th, 2017 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Weather, increased exports, and a weaker dollar made for a volatile week in the grain markets. For the week, the December wheat and corn contracts fought a major battle over pennies, only to finish flat. A combination of the dollar at a three-year low and increased exports to China helped push the November soybean contract 13 cents higher. December meal gained $6.40 per ton. Hurricane Irma's imminent threat added $2.71 to the December cotton contract. And over in the dairy parlor, October Class 3 milk futures declined 32 cents. Livestock had gains this week as the October cattle contract put on 218 and nearby feeders jumped 488 higher. The October lean hog contract bumped up 70 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index plummeted 144 basis points. Crude oil gained 19 cents per barrel. COMEX gold increased $20.80 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index moved just over 1 point higher to finish the week at 387.25. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Don Rose. Don, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
In case you want to go over things again, you can download or listen to our Market Analysis and Market Plus podcasts anytime online at iptv.org/MTOM. Don, let's start out by talking at the wheat market. We saw Chicago wheat gain fairly decently on Tuesday to start the week, and then it was just hammered as the week went on to recover a little bit on Friday. Was this just money flow changing, or what caused those movements?
Well, you know, when you look at the wheat market, Mike, we're still in a supply bearish market, but it's a market that we think we're trying to sock in a seasonal low. From the beginning of September to the middle of September, we usually bottom on wheat, and I think that's what's happened. Remember, we did have a key reversal on August 29th, and so oftentimes that signals a technical major bottom or an intermediate bottom. But, you know, the rallies are hard-fought, and it's primarily because Russia's wheat crop, up 200 million bushels on the last report. Looks like we could be up another 200 million on the next report. So we have a lot of wheat in the world market. And remember, Russia accounts for about 10.5% of the world wheat production. FSU, about 18%. In the United States, only 6.5%. So we can't run too far to the upside without the rest of the world following us.
Are these prices encouraging fewer winter wheat acres going into the ground, do you think?
Well, remember last year we were at the 100-year lows as far as the wheat acres, and I think that's right. I think the acres, again, are probably going to be down. It's just, you know, it's not a real profitable situation, and the basis levels are so wide. So, you know, there's no doubt looking for alternatives, and hopefully we force someplace around the world to produce less acres. And I think the lower dollar will help do that, maybe less acres around the world, but that's a question mark that we're working on right now.
All right, so hopefully we're putting in a low. We're struggling to do that, but maybe we'll see it happen in the wheat market. The big talk as we look over at the corn market, harvest is approaching. We did see that same August 29th spike down in the corn market. Was that the low, Don Rose?
Well, remember a year ago, it was August 31st, same time frame, same date, the delivery time frame. We put in a key reversal, we put in a low. And, you know, it's possible that was the seasonal low. I think the real question mark on the corn market is the producer selling down at these levels is just really non-existent. They're not interested. But we have a struggle with the corn because this year is really about smaller supplies, smaller production, but also smaller demand. Remember, a year ago, it was South America's crop that was much smaller than it was this year. That really was a supportive factor. And exports to date, export commitments for this next year are down 46% from a year ago. So, you know, I think when you look at it, Mike, the real question mark for the producer is probably 340 on D's corn is too low. We settle about 358 area. But when you look on the other side from a carry on July, 395 is probably too high. So I think that is the problem. It's the carries in the market.
Okay. Well, we've got a question. This one is from Noah in Boughton, Iowa. And Noah's on Twitter at NoahTaylor76. And we encourage all of you to send in questions to us at Market to Market on Twitter or Facebook. And Noah wants to know, what do you see being a more opportune time to lock in basis on a spring HTA? Do you do it pre-harvest, or do you wait until that post-harvest Thanksgiving to Christmas time period?
Well, most always in big crop years, is no opportunity to do some marketing in the fall. You have big supplies, you're going to try and distribute them over time. I think with the carries in the market that you have right now, you know, the opportunity is to take advantage of that. Put your HTAs, hedge to arrives, out in July. It gives you the carry in the market, about 26 cents from Dece to July, and wait for more of a springtime frame to lock in the basis levels. And, you know, usually it's that beginning of May is an opportune time as the producers go to the field and the supplies hitting the market are less. So that's the time frame I would shoot for. This certainly isn't a good time with the basis levels at these levels.
Now, you talked about how we're 46 under export orders from last year. But last year, as you mentioned, was an anomalous year with that very, very tight Brazilian crop. When you look at the other components of demand, ethanol seems like it's had a strong year. Feed demand has been fairly strong. Is there some demand hope in your mind here as we go through the rest of 2017?
Well, and that's the real issue. Our supplies, our demand actually, like you say, our ethanol demand is strong, but it's also stagnant. It's pretty well built out. The feed demand is probably the same. That can ramp up a little bit more. So we're fighting for the exports is the moving situation. It's probably going to be down $400 million from this last year. South America's crop bounces back 1.7 billion bushels from last year. That's a big amount. So, you know, that's the issue when you look at the demand side of the market. It really has to come from the supply side shrinking in some place around the world. But the good news is, in the olden days, we used to look at the U.S. market in the spring as a weather problem. Now we also have South America, which is coming up right now. They're just starting to, they'll be planting early corn this month, and so it's going to start.
Okay. Now let's take a look at the soybean market. We saw a pretty impressive rally coming off last week into this week. What's been moving that for the most part? Has it just been those strong export sales and orders into China?
Well, I think the big issue is the dry weather that we've had in August. I mean, this has not been an ideal finish for the soybean crop. It's been too dry. We've got the crop report coming up. That's going to start to give us some direction on what we think, but it's probably really going to be the combines that are going to tell the tale of the tape. But if you look at the soybeans, they're a little bit different than the corn and wheat. We talked about that we put in key reversals bottoms, August 29th, August 30th, but the soybeans really put in a bottom in the spring in late June at 907, and we're sitting up around 962 now. So the bean market typically bottoms the first week of October. So regardless of what the report says, we're not that far away from a seasonal bottom.
Now, as you look ahead to the report, do you anticipate USDA pulling those bean estimates down slightly?
I tell you, that's a good question. It's a jump ball, Mike. It's a tough question because the crop ratings improved from the August report from 57 to 61 where we're at now. The crop ratings would tell you that we should go up. But when you look at it realistically, I mean, it's been very dry pattern, and it wouldn't surprise me if the yield comes down a bushel or so. I mean, I don't think the government's going to make major jumps, but they really did surprise the trade the last report when they took it up 1.4 bushel. The major surprise, again, would be if they took the yields up.
Which they could, as you mentioned, given the crop conditions. Jump ball. Now let's take a look at the cotton market, because really of all the markets, cotton has been a standout over the past 2 weeks, which makes sense given the devastation from Hurricane Harvey and the impending Hurricane Irma. How aggressive do producers need to be if you're confident in the cotton crop you've got in the field on this almost $5 rally or $4 rally over the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, we rallied from some lows to some new contract highs. And, you know, my experience, not just for the cotton market, but a lot of these markets, when they add risk premium to the market, those are opportunities to do some risk management. So I think when you shoot up like this and a vertical rally, which is what we've had, is usually not a secure market. So I would use this as risk management opportunities. It looks like to us that the loss is more from a quality standpoint than actual yield loss. So that's what I would look for.
Jump on there.
Yep.
Turning to the livestock markets, good week for live cattle. We saw some strength, decent cash trade. Is this going to continue on into the fall?
Well, the cattle market's down. It traded, you know, in this 103, 105 for some low ends. You know, I think that the problem with the cattle market is we just have a lot of protein coming at us here for the rest of the year. The supplies, the total beef production up 5.5% in the third quarter, up 8.2 in the fourth quarter. You do dip down to up just 0.5% in the first quarter. Then you go up 9.4% in the second quarter next year. So Bottom line is, I think this rally is 113, 114 D's cattle. That's high enough. Remember, the weights are a concern right now. We're up 50-some pounds since the spring lows, the May lows on the weight. So we're on the rise. That was our problem, you know, in these the last year. And we've got premiums in the market. So take advantage of some risk management opportunities.
Given where we're at today, do you want to be fairly aggressive in your fourth quarter 17, first quarter 18 marketings in here? Or do you want to let us get a little closer and see if this wall of protein develops?
No, I think you want to take advantage of it right now. I mean, particularly, I mean, not only in the cattle, but in the hogs. I think you have to say that you're in a supply bearish situation. The cycle on cattle doesn't bottom until we get into the end of 18, early 19, so we're a little ways away. But the August cattle, April cattle have had about an $8 run off the bottom. You know, you get up around 118. Remember, the government has the top for cash cattle for the next 9 months up around 121. So I think we're high enough. The beef market, like no other market, is really domestic demand. About 10% of our market is exports, where hogs is 22%.
Do you anticipate the beef exports growing substantially here in the next year by opening up China, with Governor Branstad, now Secretary or Ambassador Branstad, being over there? Is that going to be a manifest change in the industry?
Well, I think it's a hopeful. There's no doubt about it. We're going to keep working it. But a little bit of a disappointment is we did have, usually we export 10%, import 10%, zero-sum game. In the recent report, we imported 11% beef, you know, so that was a bit of a negative.
Feeder cattle, I've heard complaints from the countryside that feeders are still too high at the sale barn. You know, looking at the board, there is a heck of a premium on these feeder cattle. Do you anticipate them taking a step back here as we get into the fall, or is it just all going to be tied to corn price?
Well, the feeder cattle are really tied to corn price. You know, we probably bid them up a little bit more than we probably should. You know, try and work it backwards here, take a little bit of a chance. But I think the feeder cattle, you get up around 150. That's probably top end of the range from what we see. You know, they could, if the wrong thing happens, they could slip back to 130 area. So you certainly have some risk management opportunities, 150, 155 on the top side. You know, things come under pressure, you know, 130. So there's more downside than upside.
Yeah, $18 in the front month contract of risk in that market. You mentioned lean hogs. We do have a tremendous amount of new pork coming to the market. New plants are coming online, really starting here this past quarter, all the way through first, second quarter 2018. How much of that is priced into that market today?
Well, we did have the Sioux City plant came on board. A little bit of a disappointment. That really didn't shake the cash market, didn't help the cash market. In fact, we actually drifted lower, so I'd call that a bit of a disappointment. Don't really see our exports changing a lot, 22% of production, so it is a question mark what's going to happen. But here's what's going to – demand side, probably going to have to be mainly domestic with hopeful on export front. Exports in July were a disappointment, down 3.8% from a year ago. Drop in Mexico, drop in China. Supplies in the third quarter going to be up 5.5% over a year ago. So, you know, that's part of the issue. Up 2% in the first quarter next year, then you're up 4% in the second quarter next year. So much like the cattle, a lot of pork coming at us. You know, we'll see. There's always the disease issues that can pop up, but our weights are jumping. Weights are up 3 pounds here just recently over the previous week. So the weights are on the rise. Tonnage is on the rise.
And we've also heard concerns, or at least President Trump has threatened to change the free trade agreement with South Korea, and they are a very large pork buyer. How much of that is in the market, or are we just assuming it's all talk at this point?
No, I think the trade's watching it very close. I mean, when you look at the pork end of it, and 22% of your pork has to be exported. Hopefully that grows. Top end was just over 25%. Low end, you go under 20%. So that's enough to move the needle. So I think we're going to concentrate on it pretty heavy because the supply's there, you know, and we'll prove that out, I think, in the September report on Tuesday also.
The supply is there. We got to have mouths willing to chew that pork.
Well, we do, and I think when you look at it, we bottomed last year at about 41 on December cattle, and in 2015, or on hogs, and about 52 in 2015.
All right. Don Rose, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this week.
Thank you, Mike.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market. However, Don and I will keep the conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, available in podcast and video form on our website. And while you're there, check out the classroom. This virtual schoolroom allows you to explore the science, technology, and business of agriculture. Join us again next week when we'll have a roundtable discussion about the commodity markets as the harvest season gets into full swing. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.